Welcome to Hope Found. This is a podcast about doing life with God. I found hope in the one and only true God through my salvation in Jesus. And I want to share my journey with God via the scriptures and personal interactions. Many of the podcasts will have a study of scriptures, and others will contain interviews with other people and their stories finding hope in God. Hello, all, and welcome back. I'm so glad that you decided to join us today. I am Hope, and my husband John is also here.
Yes, I am. And here we are in October already. Can you believe it?
Oh, man. Where did 2024 go?
I know. It's crazy.
Oh, man. And you know what? Recently, I've realized, because I know a lot of times older people say that. They say, man, time is just flying by, you know.
And so you realized you were old.
No. I don't embrace that. Every once in a while, my body reminds me, but I don't embrace that. I'm as old as my heart tells me I am. Mm. But recently, talking to younger people, even like middle schoolers, you know, young 20s, they feel the same way. Like, they feel like time is just going by so quickly. So I thought that was pretty interesting, because typically it's when, you know, as you get older, and that's kind of the thing. But I've actually purposefully asked many younger people, and they feel the same thing. They just
the earth must be spinning faster or something.
Yeah, global warming. I don't know. Just
it's made it all speed up.
We'll just blame it on that. So, you know, I just thought that it would be a great idea if people heard more from you this time.
Well, that sounds crazy.
No, it's not that crazy. I thought it would be really nice for people to get to know you a little bit better and a little bit more, you know, about you and, you know, your thoughts and dreams. And no, sorry.
Oh.
Long walks on the beach. No, just kidding.
That's definitely not me.
Not on the beach.
The beach? Forget
maybe
that.
In the mountains. Mountains are good.
Yeah.
Anyways. So John is the worship pastor at our church, and recently he spoke about worship, actually for the first time. You've preached before, just not on
just
worship.
Just not on worship, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And of course he had many, many amazing thoughts and views and perspectives about it, and so I wanted him to share.
She's such a good wife saying all those things.
Well, you know, I probably wouldn't hand over the mic if I didn't believe it.
Oh, yeah,
you can pay me later.
Okay.
So, yes. So would you share that with us today? Will you, you know, be willing to?
I guess so.
All right.
I can try.
I really do appreciate that.
Yeah. I mean, you lead this podcast, so I'm just always here at your mercy.
Well, today you have the mic, so.
Sort of. It's still best if you just ask the questions.
Oh, all right. I guess I'll ask the questions. So when we talk about worship, how do you think people view worship? Like, what are they, when we just say worship, what do you think that they think of?
Well, I think that there's all kinds of things that people initially think of. I think that people's definition of worship usually ties back to music.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's usually what people think. They think worship, that's the time in the service when we sing. So I think that people relate it to music more mm-hmm. than anything. That's probably the short answer. Is that where you thought I was going to go with that?
Yeah, just in general. I mean,
yeah. I mean, I think that that's what people think. Mm-hmm. You know, the depth of where they go with it is probably where there's opportunity for some people. Because maybe it's not super deep for some people. They might just think it's just singing a song.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think that's what people think.
Mm. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, growing up, I can remember we had song leaders.
Right.
We called them song leaders.
Right.
And maybe it was because I was a kid. I don't know. But I felt like we were singing songs.
Yeah.
I'm sure that there was worship from some people. But like until I kind of grew up into it a little bit and throughout many decades of experiencing worship in a variety of ways and by the grace of God, him showing himself and everything, just the development of it.
Because I think you're right. I think that there probably definitely is a group of people, or there was an era or a time when it really was just singing a song.
Mm.
And so maybe there wasn't much thought about it being something related to worshiping more than just, you know, something that we do.
Right. It's like the same time as like a offering. You give your offering. And so you just take the offering. Like, you don't think anything of it. You just put some money in, or if you got a dollar or whatever and you're
you just
throw it in, you know, it's just
sure
not, you know. But now we view kind of all of those things as worship, and but
because they are.
Right. Exactly.
Because
right.
It's not just the singing.
Right.
Right.
When I was thinking about worship this week, I was thinking about the woman at the well. And so at one point in Jesus's ministry, he was traveling with his disciples and he was headed back to Galilee, and he had decided to go through Samaria this time, which was unusual because they were Jews, and the Samaritan people, the Jews did not like the Samaritan people, and the Samaritan people did not like the Jews. The Samaritan people were half Jewish and then half another culture. And so they just, because of the times, they didn't like each other. So the disciples thought it was very interesting that they were going to go that way. But the disciples had kind of walked away and to do something. And so Jesus went to the well, which was just outside the city. People would come to get water. And there was a woman there. And so he strikes up a conversation with her, asks her for water. And in their conversation, she realizes that he's a prophet, because he pretty much, like we like to say, read her mail. He told her about her past and where she's at presently. And it wasn't good. It did not put her in a good light. But then he actually went on to reveal himself to her, one of the first people, that he was the Messiah. Mm-hmm. So it's a very beautiful story. I love the story. But specifically, when she realized that he was a prophet, at the very least, that he was a prophet, she all of a sudden came up with a question. Like he's talking to her about her life and all this stuff, and she just comes up with this question, like, if, you know, almost like, hey, I'm talking to somebody who knows stuff. So this is what's on my heart to find out. Mm-hmm. And she's talking about how the Samaritans and the Jewish people, they don't agree on where to go to worship. One believes it's a mountain, the other one believes it's a temple, and it's just something they've never seen eye to eye on. And she's asking him, So where is it? Where is the place we go to worship? So the fact that, you know, he's revealing all these things about her, and she's like, oh man, you really know your stuff. Like, I'm going to ask this guy this question. But the fact that it was about worship, like that was her, the all-knowing, you know, yeah. Like it, the fact that that was the first thing on her heart, I think revealed a little bit of who and her hunger for God and her desire to please God, even though she was making bad choices, which, you know, we all do. I just thought that was really cool. So then he replies to her in John 4:23-24. It says, but the time has come. Indeed, it is here now, when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. The Father is looking for those who will worship him that way. For God is spirit, so those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth. And I think there's some definitely things to unlock there as far as his response. He did not answer her, one or the other, no physical location, but yet that we need to worship him in spirit and truth. So do you want to expand on that?
Well, first of all, I think it's kind of funny when you said the thing about how she's had somebody in front of her. She's like, this is the person that knows. And isn't it so funny how people get like that? They're like, oh, this is a church person. I'm going to ask them these questions. I don't go to church, so I have a question, and you're, you know, and they're not usually deep. They're usually like just like this simple question, but they're like, but I don't know how to think of an answer on my own or look for an answer on my own. So I'm going to ask somebody, or I must ask the pastor. The pastor's going to know the answer to the question because they're the pastor.
Right.
So I just that always it's just one of those things I find humor in.
Well, thinking about that, when we were way back in college and I would travel by myself in between Pittsburgh and Philadelphia. And I had a CB. And so, so I would, you know, interact occasionally with some of the truckers, you know, I had a handle and everything. But it was funny because as there might be some conversation that's going on, they would find out that I went to a Christian college or that my dad was a pastor and I went to church, whatever, something along the way. And they'd be like, oh, well, my aunt somebody was, you know, right. or my uncle from forever ago was a pastor or, you know, a priest or something. You know, it's like they kind of grasp at like, what do we have in common right. here, even though it's not them.
Even so our kids talk about how at work, you know, some of them are like they're known as the. I don't know, whatever.
The Christian. They're looking, yeah.
The Christian. They usually come up with names for them.
Oh, yeah, that's true. You know,
I don't know what they are, but I remember multiple of our kids have talked about stuff like that. Yeah. So for clarity, I'm not saying that Jesus equates to just any old person.
No.
I just was making mention of
that. It provoked a thought.
Yeah, I just always find humor in that. So,
right.
So, what was the question again? Oh, we were talking about the story. I think people get caught up a lot of times in you have to be at a specific place. Mm-hmm. It's a where.
Still.
Right. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. You know, I only worship on Sunday when I'm in my seat in my church, you know, because I can't worship anywhere else. If someone sits in my seat, I can't worship.
Right.
You know, I need to move along. So it's people are people. Mm. And obviously people have been asking the same questions for over 2,000 years because they still have the same. Because there's people that just wrestle, I guess, with those same questions and or have those same, I won't call them wrong ideas. I'll just call them maybe ideas that are incomplete.
Mm.
Because there is a value in worshiping at a specific place. I mean, there can be something to that. And I think that there are times when maybe God's presence rests more in a specific place.
Mm.
Why? I don't know. I don't know. How and why God decides to do what he does,
right.
that he does.
Mm-hmm.
So I can respect the fact that there are places that can be holy places, that help people to be able to maybe more easily worship.
Mm-hmm.
But worship should be a lifestyle. It should be something
right.
that happens anywhere.
Right.
So,
well, I mean, going on this, now that we're talking about place and everything. So when I had taken the trip to Israel, and a lot of times people are just like they just are so taken back by Jesus walked here, you know, which is an amazing thing. Like if you put yourself in the place and, you know, you're walking through the Garden of Gethsemane that is today and possibly was then too.
Yeah.
Because everything is kind of. Possibly,
maybe.
Probably, maybe, you know.
Close to the same place.
Right. I mean.
You're breathing the same air.
Right. So anyways. But yeah, a lot of times people get very taken back by that, which I think that the anticipation in the person's heart can pull them closer to God.
Mm.
I think that like being in a place that provokes either a feeling that you have concerning it, like connected to it, or an experience.
Yeah.
If you had an experience there before, let's just say camp, people go back to camp but I think it really has to do with the person.
Sure.
When you're talking about the place.
Sure.
Because I thought it was really cool. I thought it was amazing. And if I was to really focus and just really let myself be taken away with those thoughts, then yeah, absolutely. You know?
Yeah.
There wasn't a lot of quiet times on that trip. It was very busy, but yeah, I definitely could have too, but at the same time, I like quiet.
Sure.
I like my closet.
Yeah.
You know, I could have those same feelings because it's whatever you want to get out of it as much as you invest into it, I guess.
Well, and I think that anticipation, like you're talking about, or you're coming at it with where you've fixed your heart to be.
Right.
I mean, that can speak to when we've seen outpourings of the Holy Spirit
mm-hmm.
in places in the last 20 years.
Right.
obviously in Brownsville, there was the revival that took place in the 1990s. And, you know, people waited in line for hours and hours mm-hmm. and hours and hours and hours. And I think when you are in a place where you're with people
yes.
who are coming to something with a like-minded anticipation, that mm-hmm. when you're together, the anticipation can grow more.
Right.
Because yes. because you are there with all of these people that are coming with an anticipation mm-hmm. as well. So, I mean, it's kind of mm-hmm. like it's just that much greater. It's compounded, yeah. I guess, in that environment. Or, you know, when we went to that service in Lakeland back in whenever that was, 2008.
Mm-hmm.
And even that day, we waited outside the church and mm-hmm. For a number of hours before we came in. And you know, there wasn't anything magical about that service. It wasn't like it was right. like some, like, something great. The worship, the music worship
right.
wasn't like this amazing
right.
you know, production or anything like that. But we were in a room with a few thousand people that came there because they wanted to experience more of God.
Right. Like the amount of anticipation that was there.
And boy, wouldn't it be great if people came to church every yes. week with that anticipation? Yes. You know, yes. those are the things that we talk right. about. And I mean, even
yeah.
I feel like without saying it, those were some of the things I was saying the week that I spoke on this yeah. at church. Because really, the experience could be so much more
mm-hmm.
if more people got on the same page
yeah.
coming into it. If you showed up with anticipation always,
right.
if you were willing to give it your everything always, if you were willing to truly surrender yourself always,
right.
then how much more could God do?
Well, and it's... this shouldn't be the beginning of our worship.
Right. Absolutely.
You know, like we come with worshiping hearts already.
Right. Right.
And it just all of a sudden now you're together, you know?
Yeah.
And speaking about those lines and the anticipation and things, a lot of times what would provoke an increase would be when you're having conversations with other people that maybe you didn't even know, and talking about God and his goodness and the things that he's been doing. And God loves to visit those moments.
Yeah.
And so even in the line, you know, when you could do this anywhere, guys. I mean, you could do it at a coffee shop. You can invite some people over. You just start talking about the goodness of God, and he can just show up in such amazing ways.
Yeah.
And you could just feel his presence. So anyways, so, you know, when I was thinking about this, I really felt like, you know, of course, Jesus doesn't address it specifically as a place, because it really isn't. Coming together with other Christians, absolutely. Typically now is it at church or a bigger event? Yes. But just it's the gathering of the people,
right.
you know. But I also really like the fact that he was like, well, God's spirit. So you need to worship him in spirit and in his truth. So we worship him with our spirit.
Yeah.
It's spirit to spirit.
Yeah.
The Holy Spirit translates God to us, and we worship him with our spirit. You know, yes, we're singing, but I think sometimes that's where if we're not worshiping him with our spirit, if we're not coming before him like, this is me, like I am invested in this time. I'm not just singing words.
Right.
You know, it's that spirit and, of course, in his truth.
Right.
So that's what I was
yeah.
thinking about there. So, so in general, what have you learned about worship?
In my 50 years of life?
Yes. Yes.
I mean, look, I think that, that like you talked earlier, when I was a kid and we sang songs, I knew I liked the music. I knew music is a part of me.
Right.
Music is a part of my family, the way I grew up. And so I think that initially I knew I liked that part of church.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that even when, you know, you fast forward to the 90s when you and I met and mm-hmm. even started attending church together, we came to this realization that for us, the music mattered.
Right.
And so maybe we were coming at it from that style preference. You know, I mm-hmm. made that joke, or I talked about that a little bit when I spoke on this a few weeks ago. because I said we weren't going to talk about music style that day.
Right.
Because a lot of times music style is something that, really gets, it gets in people's way.
Mm-hmm.
But I can understand why, because I have my preference too.
Yeah.
You know, there's things I definitely don't prefer,
mm-hmm.
and there's things I do prefer. So I know that, I know why it's like that. I understand why mm-hmm. people are like that. So, so obviously as came into my 20s and still understanding that I liked the music part of it and that the music was important, I still don't think that it was a true understanding of like the depth that comes in it.
Right.
It still was very surface. Everything was super surface. It was like, I can sing and I like to sing. And so this is what we do. And I like this part of church. But I think it was during our time in Kansas City mm-hmm. for me, mm-hmm. or maybe before that. Actually, it was before that. It was when, we were with John Wood.
Yeah.
And
Ocean City.
And it was just more of a truly like realizing the breakthrough that comes in that. It's like, yeah. Yes, we're singing and we're using this part of, you know,
our expression.
Yeah. And God mm-hmm. invented music, right?
Exactly.
You know, he, mm-hmm. I mean, he's the creator of everything. So,
right.
So it was like, you know, we're using this as something that we can use towards or to worship him. And I think that there was times and moments in that I just started to understand how much more and how deep this is, and that this isn't just us singing a song about. This is us singing to.
Yeah.
And truly under, and I guess just understanding the position and the posture that we needed to take
mm-hmm.
in those moments
mm.
to be able to, for that worship to mean all that it needs to mean.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, definitely. I would agree with that. I think that Ocean City was, for the year that we were there, it definitely jostled some ways that we maybe were maybe a little stuck in. College helped me out with that too. Like there was just a whole lot of like times that we would just have worship and it would just be super quiet, you know, that it would just be this solemn,
yeah,
amazing moments, you know, and so just the variety of different things. So this is a complete side note, but I feel like is somewhat relevant because we're talking about worship. So when we were going, this is before we got married, obviously, when you hear the story. But we had started going out, and that was when we were at
Lighthouse. In Pennsburg.
Yes.
Pennsylvania.
Yes. And it was a Sunday evening, and John was leading worship that night. And many times he did it with the youth, but he didn't do it a ton in the adult service, but he was Sunday evening. And I can remember sitting in the back, and of course I was worshiping, of course, but I can remember looking at John at the piano and seeing his love for God. And that is when I realized that I loved him.
Aww.
That was, sorry, I didn't expect to get emotional, but it hit me. But it was in the moment of seeing your expression of love towards God.
Yeah.
That drew me, you know. I mean, we had been going out and stuff, but like it like hit me. It hit me hard. I was like, I love him. And so that was kind of a crazy years and years ago. Like it hits me like yesterday.
Yeah.
I don't have a ton of memories like that. That
yeah.
Are especially great memories that but anyways, I thought that was pretty relevant because it was during worship. So that's probably why we really connect in that way, too.
Right. It's probably why we are who we are.
Right.
Why we do what we do.
Exactly. Exactly. So I've heard recently that worship is where heaven meets earth.
It's amazing that you've heard that. That was the title of the message.
So what does that mean to you?
To me, what that means is that obviously we live in the world. Mm-hmm. We live in the human world.
Mm-hmm.
And heaven, I believe, is outside of that. Mm-hmm. And I'm not going to get into science and physics and all that. And it's not some alternate dimension or, I mean, maybe it is. I don't know. But I'm not.
This That's not the concern.
Right. This isn't Doctor Strange in the multiverse or anything like that. I think that heaven is a place outside of where we are. Mm-hmm. And I think that there are times when we get glimpses of heaven. Mm. I think that God is in his love for us. Mm-hmm. He sometimes allows us the opportunity to experience some of that. Mm-hmm. I mean, to me, I think heaven's going to be an amazing place, and I'm so glad that we have that hope that that's where we're going to be, and that we're going to get to spend eternity with God. Mm-hmm. And in this amazing and wonderful place, mm-hmm. what that looks like and what we look like and all those things are kind of irrelevant. We can only think of things in our human mind because we're human.
Right.
So to me, though, when I say that about where heaven meets earth, I think that in times of worship, when we're truly submitting, when we're truly surrendering, there's the opportunity for God to open a door. Mm-hmm. For there to be a place where we're being able to experience some of what heaven is like, mm-hmm. and so that's really how I look at that. It's mm-hmm. it's this it's just this. That's the best way I can say it. I mean,
right,
and
right.
Maybe I'm not explaining it well. Maybe I am.
No,
I don't know.
You got it.
It's more. I guess it's more of a picture of what that looks like to you or to the listener even. But it's just in the midst of worship. God will move.
Right.
God can move anywhere.
Yeah, absolutely.
But in those moments when we're submitting and we're mm-hmm. doing what we need to do, God will move.
Right. I mean, when you say all of that, it does bring to mind how God, it says in the Bible, how God inhabits the praises of his people. Mm. And so when we are doing all those things, the submitting and surrendering and really worshiping in spirit, and in truth, which I think is the in truth is really important too, because we need to know the truth and worship him in that way, because there could be some cattywampus thoughts and beliefs out there that's not how, you know, not how or
just
what.
Just because you're singing a song in a specific building doesn't mean that.
Right.
You're doing it in spirit and in truth.
Right, exactly. So, you know, if we are in that moment, you know, and worshiping with our spirit, that God comes, you know, and he inhabits the praise of his people.
Yeah.
You know, and that and he is drawn to that, you know. He is drawn to our worship. He is drawn to us joining together in worship. And I think that that's kind of like we're not going to get into a lot of philosophy or theology or anything, but heaven is in God.
Yeah.
If it wasn't for God, there would be no heaven. So when God shows up.
Yeah.
That's when heaven shows up.
Right.
You know, and we have Jesus who came to earth, who was always the kingdom of heaven is at hand. It's now. It's even now.
Right.
You know, so.
Because I'm here.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, but then the Holy Spirit's here too. So, you know, I think that the two touch each other very frequently.
Yeah.
You know, heaven does invade earth.
Yeah.
You know, in the best possible way. Yeah. And so along with this concept, can you explain how worship is a doorway?
Yeah, I mean, I think I said that a little bit just a moment ago.
Okay.
But it's that, you know, when we are worshiping, when we are finding ourselves in worshiping in spirit and in truth, all those things, I think it's this, you know, we are looking for that opportunity mm-hmm. for heaven to come. Mm-hmm. And so I think that it's that, like, here's the door. Mm-hmm. This is the door that gets you there. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. I kind of see it. I think it can be both, But when I'm looking at this and we're as we're talking about it, I feel like we're the door. I mean, Jesus is the way. Don't get me wrong. He's the door. He's the way. But I feel like when we come with that true, honest worship and our spirit is focused on Jesus, the Holy Spirit's inside of us. And I believe that we are the door that he likes to flow through to bring heaven through to other people, into the room, into the, to sure. encounter other people.
Right, allowing the Spirit of God to work through
exactly.
you.
Mm-hmm. Exactly, exactly. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of like, yes, it's both,
yeah.
you know, because I don't, you know, he's not using a physical door.
Right.
He's not, here, let me open up, let me leave the door open crack so you can make it in. You
oh
know?
Boy, wouldn't that be great if like the door just flung open and there was Jesus.
Yeah, right, exactly. So we have talked a little bit about it, but what part do you believe surrender plays in worship?
I think that's a key part.
Yeah.
Because I think when you don't surrender in worship, you're missing out.
Mm.
You're holding back, or you're saying, I've got this covered, or I know better. Mm. And, you know, when you're talking about doing something in a representative way to worship the creator of everything, surrender should be a part of that. Think about when we see movies or TV shows where someone's coming into the presence of the king.
Okay.
You know, maybe not so much today. I mean, I don't know. I guess I don't visit kings much today, so I don't
know. No, but I know what you mean. Like, kind of like you're coming into the big room.
You're coming into the big room, and you're, you know, and what is the first thing that they do when they get there? They get down on their knee, and they bow their head, and they are coming at it with a physical posture of surrender.
A reverence.
But there's surrender in that.
Right,
it's like because you're putting yourself in a vulnerable place.
That's true.
You're taking your eye off of the king. So at that moment, you don't know. You don't know what's next. I'm gonna you know, get down on my knee and I'm going to put my head down because I trust you.
Right.
Or hopefully I trust you.
Right.
You know, I've seen some movies where it didn't go so well for the person that did that. Because thankfully they weren't those were not movies about being in the presence of God.
Right.
They were the crazy kings.
Self-serving
kings. You know, whatever. Yes. Or fictional whatever kind of environment. So so I think that when we are willing to surrender and give away all of our inhibitions, it makes that door for God to be able to come and meet us so much easier because we've given up everything. We're saying, God, empty me,
right?
Get it all out. So then there's lots of room for you to come and put yourself in.
Yeah. I think it's, it goes right along with what you're saying. But if we don't come with that posture, if we don't come with, you know, all the things that we have going on in our heads and all of the crazy and all of the everything, and if we don't put it to the side, if we don't surrender it to him, most of the time that's what's occupying our minds. We can't, unless we give that all to him, we can't focus on him.
Yeah.
Which is the only thing we should be focused on is Jesus. So I think that that's it. That's in the surrender. It's also those times when maybe we are in a place and it's not necessarily a preferred style, and to really focus on Jesus. You know, there's times that maybe I've been in a service and it's not necessarily a style issue, but I just don't know the songs. You know, maybe we're visiting somewhere or something and I just don't know the songs. But, and so you tend to, if you're in a new place, you're looking around and I don't really know these songs and, you know, but then you just have to say, okay, I'm going to worship anyways.
Yeah.
You know, even though this is slightly uncomfortable because I don't know these people, whatever the circumstances, I'm going to worship. And so whether I do it with my own words, I'm going to focus on him, you know, whatever the case is, but that's that whole set everything aside, you know, focus and give it all to him, because otherwise it tends to really block, you know, it kind of stops us because
we can't get caught up in worship being the song.
Right.
The song is a means
right
to worship, but the worship is the heart.
Yeah, exactly.
And so you're right. When you don't know the song or whatever, as long as you're still doing what you can do with your heart, then I think you're getting it.
Right.
You're figuring it out.
Right. So there was a little phrase in the book that you had referenced called The Reward of Worship by Jack Hayford. And I'm just going to go ahead and read it here. It says, "Worship is about the formation of hearts in the presence of God. It's about the shaping of disciples who know him through being with him. It's about the transforming work of the Holy Spirit It's about the transforming work the Holy Spirit achieves when pure worship occurs." I feel like the author is saying that when we really engage with God is when we're transformed. What do you think about this?
No, I'd agree with that. And mm-hmm. I think a great picture of this, we don't get to physically be with Jesus the way the disciples did.
Right.
But to me, it's the closest we can get.
Mm.
Because if you think about it, if you're trying to put together like a picture in your head
mm-hmm.
of the disciples being with Jesus, the disciples were transformed because they were with Jesus, right?
Yeah.
They were in a place where he was pouring into them.
Mm-hmm.
And in the midst of that, they were transformed as their hearts were open
right.
to what he had for them.
Hearing the words of life that he was bringing them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so I think that when we look at that and saying, you know, the formation of the heart, so your heart being in the right place, again, it's that heart posture thing.
Mm-hmm.
And the transforming work that the Holy Spirit can do when pure worship occurs.
Mm-hmm.
Like I was saying before, the more you're willing to surrender, the more you're willing to put aside you.
Be vulnerable.
Yeah. The more mm-hmm. opportunity there is for the Holy Spirit to come in and work in you.
Yeah, that's good. And that's important because how else do we change?
Right.
You know, we just be in his presence. And it reminds me of, it's kind of like when we go camping around a campfire. And when you've been around it at all, especially for an extended period of time, everything smells like campfire.
For days.
Your hair and everything else, you know. And so we need to smell like Jesus.
Yeah.
It needs to be evident in our lives that we are spending that time with him because we're becoming more like him.
Yeah.
Let's read Hebrews 13:15. "Therefore, let us offer through Jesus a continual sacrifice of praise to God, proclaiming our allegiance to his name." So what does a sacrifice of praise mean to you?
To me, it's just, it's looking at when you are praising God, understanding that it could cost you something.
Mm.
That's what sacrifice is.
Right.
Because if it doesn't cost you something, is it sacrifice?
Mm.
So a sacrifice,
I would say no.
Right. So, right. Mm-hmm. Thank you. That's the right answer.
You're welcome.
But a sacrifice of praise is it's you giving up something. It's costing you something, whatever that means mm-hmm. in that moment. You're sacrificing that in an effort to praise God.
Mm.
You know, think about sacrifice when we think about the word sacrifice and we think about it from an Old Testament perspective and
right.
what sacrifice
right.
was. A sacrifice was something, I mean, we look at sacrifice for atonement, but I mean, but there was sacrifice that was made and offerings that were given mm-hmm. and things that were about magnifying the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
So, but it was always, it always cost something. Mm-hmm. It was, you know, it was, you were giving up something.
Right.
Whether you were giving up money or you were giving up something that you had in order to be that sacrifice, a possession, you know.
Right.
So it cost you something.
Right. Was it Abraham in the Bible about that?
As far as what?
Or was it, maybe it was David who wouldn't.
Oh, it was David.
Yeah.
Yeah. The one who said he would not say he wanted to buy.
The sacrifice.
The sacrifice was being mm-hmm. offered to him. Mm-hmm. You know, take this to be the sacrifice. And he said, no, I'm not gonna offer a sacrifice of something that didn't cost me something.
Right. He insisted on paying for it. He said, no, right. You're not just gonna give it to me.
And I think about the words to the song that my brother has sung. You know, right. I won't offer you something that cost me nothing because that is not my worship.
Right, right. And many times, like, if we think about the times, because when we don't want to praise or worship, when we don't feel like it, when things are not going well and all of that. But it's like, that's when we really need to.
Yeah.
I mean, it is a sacrifice because we don't want to, but at the same time, that's where we're going to get into a much better place if we choose to do it.
Right. That's going to help us through that.
Right.
Yeah, when you're doing something at the time that it seems the hardest, mm-hmm. the reward is probably that much greater or that much more necessary.
Right, right. I'm also thinking of recently, God's still working on all of us, but something in particular right now for me. And my sacrifice of praise, which is not necessarily worship, but my sacrifice of praise is obedience. Mm-hmm. When I really don't want to.
Yeah.
Like, because it's because of the way that I feel about the situation. I don't want to. And I know that it's right. So I'm like, okay, I am going to choose to obey. And I can see that as that's my surrender. That's my sacrifice.
Yeah.
I'm going to give up my right to my feelings and I'm going to choose to obey. And this is my sacrifice.
Yeah.
In this, even though it really doesn't have anything to do specifically with singing or worship, it's you know, it's that sacrifice. Let me give up that.
Yeah.
Give up that right. Psalms 148:5. Let everything created give praise to the Lord. So, what kind of picture does that paint for you?
You know, it's just. Well, first of all, God created everything. Mm-hmm. So in that moment when it says, you know, let everything that's created give praise to the Lord, it's like, so that's everything. It's everything.
Right.
It's not just me or just you or, you know, when you go to church, it's not just the person that's on the platform. Mm-hmm. It's everybody and it's everything. And so it's not just people.
Right.
It's creation. Mm-hmm. I used the example when I spoke on this back a few months ago. There was the solar flare thing that took
aurora.
Place, and it created the aurora. Yeah, mm-hmm. And so I was seeing all kinds of pictures on the internet that people were posting on Facebook and things like that of this amazing thing that they saw in the sky, and. To me, it's like that's just another element of God's creation.
Yeah,
that's beautiful. Mm-hmm. You know, for no other. But why? Why does it even happen? Why does it exist? Why does this beautiful thing even happen? Mm-hmm. Because it's God. Because it's His creation.
Worshiping Him.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. And so it's like, wow. Mm-hmm. You know, the heavens declare Your majesty.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, my mom talks about the time that she went to the Grand Canyon and just sat there looking at the Grand Canyon and just looked at the majesty of God's creation. Mm-hmm. And it's like, wow. It's like, yes, we can look at that as a picture to us of God's love for us because of these beautiful things that He's created.
Right.
But man, the beauty
is pointing
back to Him. Yeah. So isn't that worship?
Yeah. Yeah.
Isn't anything that points its way back to God worship?
Yeah. Yeah. And the declaring the glory of the Lord or declare, you know, and when it does that, it's like people who want to say that there is no God, or people who are just going about life doing their own thing. If they do take the time to see that, I believe it provokes something inside of them that at least there's got to be something bigger and greater than them. You know, I believe that God created all of us with that hunger for him inside. Yeah. And so many people maybe don't even realize it because it's been buried underneath all kinds of hurt, junk, whatever, numbness to it from ignoring it, any number of different things. But I believe it's in every one of us. And so when we see the aurora or anything grandeur like that, and it depends, like sometimes it could just be like a million stars out at night or, you know, and it speaks to him and his greatness and his beauty and his creativity. And
well, I mean, and even as I was studying and researching things for this message, one of the things I had stumbled upon was Louis Giglio does this sermon where he talks about the sounds that creation makes. Hmm. Now, look, it made for a really good sermon. So I really don't think that, well, I don't word this. Let me tell you what obviously the idea behind it is when he's speaking it. And if you're, look, I mean, just search Louis Giglio about creation worships or something like that. And you'll be able to watch that. And it's this little, you know, segment that's 5-10 minutes long and he talks about it. But, you know, he talks about the sounds. And so he has recordings of whale sounds. And and then he talks about how we have like radio telescopes that are able to hear to take the signals that come at us from galaxies and from stars and converts them into sound for the sake of the
natural ear.
And pulsars that exist in space. And, you know, because I don't know that these are things that are audible when you're, I mean, if I was in a spaceship flying near a pulsar, am I going to hear a noise? I don't know.
Right.
But, you know, for the sake of what he's talking about, it's like, you know, all of these things equate to something, right? And so it all equates to this music. And in the course of his sermon at the end, you know, they speed this up and slow this down and do this and that. All of a sudden, all these things together are singing How Great Is Our God. I don't know how that works. You know, Chris Tomlin really lucked out there. But you know, it just, it's that all of creation, of creation. You know, this, you have the scripture on here and I'm going to read it
because, go for it.
Because you have it on the notes that we're looking at, but you know, it's one of the passages I read that day. Psalms 148, 1-5. It says, praise the Lord from the heavens, praise him from the skies, praise him, all his angels, praise him, all the armies of heaven, praise him, sun and moon, praise him, all you twinkling stars. Praise him, skies above. Praise him, vapors high above the clouds. Let every created thing praise the Lord. So it really is everything. Nobody gets a pass in this, you know.
Right.
And, you know, you follow it up with what is in Isaiah 55, 12, where it says, the mountains and the hills burst into song. And the trees of the fields will clap their hands. And I just always, for my
makes for a great picture.
Yes, for my whole life. It's just that whole, like, I want to see the trees clap their hands, you know. But you know what? When you're out and the wind blows and the trees make sound and you hear whistling in the trees or you just hear the rush of the leaves, it's like, wow.
Yeah.
That's what that is.
Yeah.
You know, the trees are clapping their hands because they are worshiping the Lord.
Yeah, yeah. I can remember when we visited Niagara Falls. That's one of those places that, you know, in the Bible several times it talks about the voice of God being like many rushing waters.
Yeah.
And it's loud.
Yeah.
It's loud and powerful. Like that reverence of, I'm going to recognize right now how powerful those falls are.
Yeah.
Like that is absolutely nothing to mess with.
Yeah.
You know, I will reverent. I respect it, and I will not challenge it at all because they're pretty amazing and powerful. And but that's, I think about those things too, and it just was crossing my mind as we're talking about creation in this aspect. And I think that many times that's where some get caught up in actually worshiping nature.
Mm.
They see the reflection of God. And of course, we have the enemy. He's not creative. He just takes what God has created and he twists it just enough to distort it. And I believe that many people who have recognized how amazing nature is and how beautiful it is. And then, you know, he's like, yeah, you should worship it because it, you know,
right.
And then they do. And it's happened for
probably,
you know, millennia.
Yeah.
You know, that people have worshiped those things. And but if we can just help
they've
them
they've seen
understand,
the trees clap their hands and right. they're like, I'm going to worship that tree.
Right. Well, you know, there really are people.
No, I know.
Yeah.
And, I know. It's a thing.
Yeah, it is. So, but yeah, if we could just redirect them, you know.
Yeah.
Nature's pointing to him, the creator, not just the creation itself. That's like us worshiping ourselves because we're creation
right.
too.
Right.
So.
Which there are people that do that as well.
Yes.
Self-worship is a thing.
Yeah, it's called atheists. So how does worship prepare us for battle?
Well, for me, I think about how in the Old Testament it talked about how the singers went out before the army. Mm. Because there's power mm-hmm. in those moments. You can use the story of when the people marched around Jericho mm-hmm. and they didn't fight the people in Jericho.
Right.
In that moment. That's not what they were doing. They were just marching around the wall
mm-hmm.
in obedience.
Right.
In sacrifice. Doing the thing that made them look weird.
True.
And then at the end of that, they blew their trumpets and lifted their voices and the walls came down.
Mm.
So to me, it's like there are tangible times when we've seen or we can read about times when God moves in that.
Right.
In those times of when things really are a battle.
Mm-hmm.
And so worship is a thing that will actually like help us through that.
Mm-hmm.
In 2 Chronicles chapter 20, it says, after consulting the people, the king appointed singers to walk ahead of the army, singing to the Lord and praising him for his holy splendor. This is what they sang. Give thanks to the Lord. His faithful love endures forever. And at that very moment that they began to sing and give praise, the Lord caused the armies of the enemies, that says they're listed out there, but the army of the enemies to start fighting amongst themselves. So in that moment, because they worshiped the Lord, they won that battle.
Mm.
And they didn't have to fight at all. There was no fighting on their part.
Right. They fought each other.
Right. The bad enemies, guys all yeah. fought each other in wow. that moment because the people, God's people, chose to worship him. And so that battle was won because of worship.
Right. Right. And it was through, it says, giving thanks to the Lord and proclaiming that his love endures forever. They weren't saying, we've got the victory.
Right.
They were focusing on God.
Right.
And thanking him and acknowledging how his love endures forever. So that's maybe a little side note too.
Yeah.
You know, taking our eyes off of our situation and putting them on him. So do you believe miracles can be associated with worship?
100%. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I think that we never know when miracles are going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
We never know why God does what he does and when he does it and mm-hmm. how he does it. Some people think they know how he does it and they think it's a formula.
Mm-hmm.
If I sing these three songs in this order and have 14 key changes, then something major is going to happen.
Right.
But I think that in the midst of worship, those are times when things can happen.
Mm-hmm.
Those are times when miracles can happen. I think that, you know, we have examples again of times in the Bible when people were in down and out situations,
mm-hmm.
and they chose to worship, and there was an amazing outcome.
Yeah.
You know, one of the examples that I had was in Acts 16 and Paul and Silas, you know, they're out spreading the good news, doing the Lord's work,
right.
You know, talking about the way, and great things are happening. But in the midst of all of that, they get arrested and thrown in prison. So they're doing exactly what they're supposed to be doing. Mm-hmm. They're, you know, so, and I'm not saying it was easy. You know, they already made the hard choice to follow mm. and do what the Lord had said. But good things were happening,
mm-hmm.
right? I mean, it was already like, we're on a roll.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Good things are happening. Yeah. And then, they got arrested, thrown into prison.
Mm-hmm.
And they could have, in that moment, how easy would it have been to been like, I'm done. I'm throwing in the towel. I'm out.
Right.
And look, this is just one of how many examples of people that were thrown into jail, how many times or mm-hmm. how many bad things happened to them. But in this specific story, you know, they were in jail, they were in chains, in the prison, in the dungeon, and they just chose to worship.
Mm.
They just chose to sing songs and to lift up praise to God. And so, hey, what happened then? A miracle happened. Mm. A physical miracle happened in the fact that that there was an earthquake mm-hmm. and their chains fell off and all of the doors were open and they were set free. Mm. So all they did was worship the Lord,
yeah,
and they were set free. But then to take it the step further, that the extra part of that mm-hmm. miracle is the fact that they then took that opportunity that they had to share Jesus
mm.
with the jailer, and the jailer and all his family were saved.
Yeah, yeah. It's amazing.
Yeah.
Yet another miracle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like miracle on top of miracle.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, yes, they were being obedient and they had sacrificed and they had surrendered. And that's what got them to where they were.
Mm-hmm.
And then even when they were down and out, even when the times were hard, they worshiped.
Yeah.
That's the time when you want to sit in the corner and
exactly
wallow.
When you don't want to.
Yeah.
Right. I'm sure that they, in their physical and emotional states, didn't want to. But their spirits. Because I'm sure that maybe they just started talking about all the stuff that they just, man, it really stinks that we're in here, but let's talk about all the stuff that just happened.
Yeah.
I bet you that they sat there and they were talking about, man, did you see that one guy? Yeah. All of a sudden he could see and he hadn't been able to see, and whatever the miracles were that they were experiencing, and people coming and believing in Jesus and all those things. And I bet you they started talking about all the amazing things that they had just seen, which just led them right into, man, God, you're amazing.
Yeah.
And just worshiping. And there's a message in that within itself that, one, just because stuff like that happens doesn't mean that we're in the wrong place.
Right.
And doesn't mean that we should be, oh man, that stinks. You know, maybe we should do it different next time. Maybe we should whatever, you know, but they worship God, and then God just lined them right up to minister to that family, the
right.
jailer and his family. And if they would have made a different choice, all that they would have missed, you know, and if we're in those places where, okay, God, I'm doing all the right things. I'm spending time with you and I'm going to church and I'm doing all of the things and you know, and really truly, not just doing the things, but like really truly wholeheartedly surrendering, and then you lose your job, and then
yeah.
you get diagnosed with something, and then
yeah.
you know, and it's like that's when you really got to push through it, because you just don't know the good that's going to come out on the other side.
Yeah, and I think, you know, look, we're talking about these things and we're giving examples of things and saying, you know, yeah, you need to surrender and yeah, you need to worship through the hard times. And look, please don't ever take what we're saying like we have it all figured out.
Oh, no.
Or that we do it right every time.
No.
But we can learn from the experiences and the examples that God mm-hmm. has set forth, that, you know, he's given us in his word. And then we live through our own situations
right.
and see.
And we've done God's it wrong provision. Sometimes, and we've done it right sometimes.
Exactly, exactly. But I think that, but you can look back when it's like, oh, I did what I was supposed to do, and God did work through that.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't mean it was easy.
No.
It surely doesn't mean it's going
right.
to be easy.
Right.
And even in the midst of all of the sacrifice and surrender, it doesn't mean that more junk isn't yeah. going to happen.
Yeah. But it's in that heart attitude that if you just keep going.
Right.
Just keep going. Keep doing what you're doing. It doesn't mean that you're doing the wrong thing. You just keep going.
Because God can allow miracles to take place
mm-hmm.
here.
Mm-hmm.
On the earth, in our humanity.
Mm-hmm.
And look, I pray for that. You know we pray
yeah,
for that. We
absolutely.
Pray for healing in our family.
Mm-hmm.
There are so many things going on with just within our family
yep.
and within people that we know that we're close to that, you know. And look, there's times when we're like, well, God, why? Why haven't you figured this? Why haven't you done anything yet?
Mm.
But the promise is in eternity.
Yeah.
The healing may not come here,
mm-hmm.
but it's going to definitely come there.
Right.
And when we talk about miracles in general, salvation alone
yeah.
is a miracle.
Yeah, absolutely.
So every one of us who have surrendered our lives to God and who mm-hmm. have made that choice to follow Jesus have experienced a miracle already.
Mm,
so true. There is nobody that truly is a follower of Christ
mm-hmm.
who has not already experienced a miracle.
Yeah.
It may not be the miracle that's the one that they're hoping for. It may not be the miracle that's the, you know, I watched the arm grow back or mm-hmm. I saw a blind person that was given their sight or a deaf person that got back their hearing. Sure, there are those
right.
times when that happens.
Yeah, and it's amazing.
Right.
It's awesome.
But the miracle of salvation, which is the thing that's going to allow you to spend eternity with the Lord, it's like, that's probably the most important.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's no probably. It is.
Yeah.
It's the most important.
Yeah. And I think that also working through those situations, the miracle of the strength that we experience in God and the stronger that He makes us as we walk the path through the hard times, whether the outcome is what we wanted it to be, or if it looks different or whatever, it's in that journey.
Yeah.
It's how He's strengthening and growing us. That's a miracle too.
Yeah.
Because we wouldn't be the people we were today if we didn't face those things, however it turned out.
Right.
You know, and that's what it's all about, because it's in that growth and that development, that's the eternal stuff. That's
yeah.
the stuff that's going to last forever. These bodies are going to be gone.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Sorry, we weren't really focusing a lot on miracles, but hey, there you go. There you have it. One more verse, Isaiah 54, 1 through 3. Sing, O childless woman, you who have never given birth, break into loud and joyful song, O Jerusalem. You who have never been in labor, for the desolate woman now has more children than the woman who lives with her husband, says the Lord. Enlarge your house, build an addition, spread out your home, and spare no expense, for you will soon be bursting at the seams. Your descendants will occupy other nations and resettle the ruined cities. So this is amazing within itself, this whole thing. But the sing, O childless woman, that verse always brings me back to an experience. It wasn't our personal experience, but we were there when we lived in Indiana. And there was a young lady who physically, it seemed like she maybe wasn't going to be able to have kids because her womanly parts were not working the way that they should. And it just wasn't progressing, you know, the way that, and so she just, you know, I know that it was her heart. I don't even think she was married yet, but it was her heart to have a family and everything. And we experienced a lot of really amazing things in worship in that church in Indiana. It was a huge growing for us and for the church as a whole. Just some really amazing prophetic things that were happening and just huge growth. But I can remember one time when, because she's a singer, she still sings now, and she was up there, and I don't even know what she was singing. I don't know if you remember or not, but when it was something from God. God, the Holy Spirit was doing something in her and through her when she's, and I can remember this verse and just that moment of when she was singing out, she was singing as the childless woman. And it was a beautiful moment. And then not too terribly long after that, she'd gotten married and, or no, before that, I think that all of a sudden she started having evidence of her womanly functions mm-hmm. start to be regular. And it was not like, and she had gotten checked and it was like, what? Like,
yeah,
like her whole life,
yeah.
You know, she was probably young 20s, her whole life. It hadn't really, you know, and they had word with that. And then a couple years later, whatever it was, she'd gotten married. Now they've got two beautiful kids and, you know, like it just. God can do it.
Yeah.
You know, I think that it was probably in the surrender or whatever when she sang out. But I remember specifically that time when she did that, and it just. I knew God was doing something. Well,
and it was. And this passage for me goes to Indiana anyway,
every time,
because Pastor Sam had preached on this.
I loved his. And he had lots of sermons on worship. Yeah, he did great.
And I just I can hear him saying, "Sing, O barren woman." Yeah. I mean, that's another translation says yes. Barren mm-hmm. instead of childless, and so I just I.
Yeah.
When I read this verse, I hear Pastor Sam.
Yeah. 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 It's a good memory. We lost him a couple years back, and he was a really, really amazing pastor and man of God.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But in all of that, I think that the thing that we learn from this specific verse mm-hmm. in the context of what we're talking about
yeah.
is to understand that we need to declare God's promises.
Yeah. Yeah.
Always.
Yeah.
Whatever they are.
Right.
Because we know God's promises for us. Mm-hmm. And we just need to declare that.
Right. Yeah.
Over and over and over and yeah. over again. And God's going to do what God's going to do in God's time. Always. Yeah,
absolutely. And it needs to be in his time.
Yeah.
Please don't do it in mine. I've learned that doesn't work.
Right, it probably won't look like what we thought.
Right.
But the outcome is going to be
yeah
amazing because it's going to be what God wants to do. It's right. going to be what God, because he has what's best.
Right. Yeah. So one more question I have for you is, what do you think worship in heaven will look like?
Well, I think we have it. That's written down for us. So I can read that
okay.
Because I think there's a great picture of what that looks like. You know, it's in Revelation, chapter 4, and it's verses 1 through 11. John is describing heaven that he saw in his time.
Up in the spirit,
yeah. Mm-hmm. So it says, "Then I looked, and I saw a door standing open in heaven. And the voice that I had heard before spoke to me like a trumpet blast. The voice said, 'Come up here, and I will show you what must happen after this.' And instantly I was in the spirit, and I saw a throne in heaven and someone sitting on it. The one sitting on the throne was as brilliant as gemstones, like jasper and carnelian. And the glow of an emerald encircled his throne like a rainbow. 24 thrones surrounded him with 24 elders who sat on them. They were all clothed in white and had gold crowns on their heads. From the throne came flashes of lightning and the rumble of thunder, and in front of his throne were seven torches with burning flames. This is the sevenfold Spirit of God. In front of the throne was a shiny sea of glass, sparkling like crystal. In the center and around the throne were four living beings, each covered with eyes front and back. The first of these beings was like a lion, the second like an ox, and the third had a human face, the fourth was like an eagle in flight. Each of these living beings had six wings, and their wings were covered all over with eyes inside and out. Day after day, night after night, they kept on saying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, the one who always was, who is, and who is still to come." And whenever the living beings give glory and honor and thanks to the one sitting on the throne, the one who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down and worship the one sitting on the throne, the one who lives forever and ever. And they lay their crowns before the throne and say, "You are worthy, O Lord, our God, to receive glory and honor and power. For you created all things, and they exist because you created what you pleased."
That's such a beautiful picture. Such a beautiful picture of what we have to look forward to and what I believe is happening now.
Absolutely. Yeah. I think, yeah, we're getting, I think, in John's glimpse of heaven there, it wasn't just strictly a, here's a prophecy of what's to come. Mm. It's a what's happening around the throne of God all the time.
Yeah, yeah. And the living creatures, I think, talk maybe in another place about how they kind of, yeah, the wings cover, or it says covered with eyes, but there's a part where it talks about them covering themselves with the wings. And I remember somebody saying along the way, which this is their imagination, but it's pretty cool and possible, that, you know, that they were bowing down. They would kind of cover themselves with their wings and kind of bow down, and then they would again lift up their eyes to see God. And every single time that they would look up, a new aspect of God would hit them. And they would just respond with, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty."
Yeah.
And they just, that's just like the response of that revelation of that new aspect of God. And the fact that this could happen for eternity.
Yeah.
Because God's endless.
Yeah.
You know, like just the idea of that is so amazing. So amazing. So.
And for us to think about, you know, we talked at the beginning about how maybe there are people whose idea of what worship is just singing a song. Mm. But if we come at it with the anticipation, with the surrender, with the unity that comes with us when we're together.
Yeah.
And we have an expectation of God moving because we know that he's going to open the door and heaven's going to meet earth. Mm. And then we see the picture of what's happening in heaven already. Right. And we know, hey, someday we're going to be there. Someday we're going to be in heaven and we're going to get to do that. But right now, we get to worship God.
Yeah.
And he can move in us and through us.
Right.
And miracles can happen and strongholds can be broken and battles can be won. And healing can take place, and we could go on and on and on and on with the list of all the amazing things that are those promises that we're declaring.
Right, right.
That God can do.
Yeah. So final thought. Worship is not just a song, guys.
Amen.
It doesn't have to be sung, but it's not just a song. So we encourage you that, you know, maybe thinking a little bit more about worship and all of the different things that can happen in your worship, in your daily worship, as you do what you have right in front of you, to the best of your ability that God has enabled you to do. That's your worship. Whether it's singing, whether it's giving of your time, you know, and your money and loving on people, whatever it is. There's a million different things like that that can be considered worship. But as we do that, hopefully, maybe it's just kind of opened up your heart and your mind to the power that is in worship. And you know, dig more into the word about it. You know, there's a lot of it in there. And just be encouraged. It's not just a song. Any last thoughts?
No, that was good. That was good what you said.
Yeah. I try.
Yeah, I know.
I know. So until next time, continue believing and hoping in the one and only true God. and we will see you then.